please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
From the Director of Audits, an audit titled Milwaukee County Needs to Commit to a Preventative Repair and Maintenance Program to Ensure Public Safety. Also considered by the Committee on Finance and Audit, informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee. The Committee on Finance and Audit didn't take any action on this audit.
Mr. Hare.
Mr. Chairman.
Before you move ahead, I know that you're an esteemed person, a very intelligent person, but I want to make sure, what team are you supporting this wonderful day?
Mr. Chairman, I've been a Packers fan since I was about a year or two old. I think that's when I started to realize that green and gold was the color of a lot of people's blood in this state. And yes, Packers.
Oh, yeah.
And not only am I supporting them, but I'm actually predicting a 10-point victory. So. Mm.
All right.
Gambling is illegal, but you talk to me later.
But you know your number.
But here's my phone number.
Okay. Well, do the report.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, on June 25th, the chairman of the county board called for an audit of Milwaukee County's efforts to keep our buildings safe. This is in the wake of the tragedy at O'Donnell Park, some issues that developed at BHD with the plant out there, and a chunk of concrete that fell from the courthouse onto the pavement below. In addition, you'll recall the executive and the county board chairman called for a facade inspection countywide. Grafe USA conducted that inspection and found that we needed to spend about $8.5 million to just repair the facades of county buildings. We looked at the broader issues in terms of how well Milwaukee County has taken proactive steps to make sure our buildings are safe for those who visit and work here. We did not get into the specific issues of O'Donnell Park for obvious reasons. It's an ongoing issue with investigation litigation. By way of background, we own 902 buildings of various shapes and sizes and functions. The management of those facilities is, for the most part, decentralized. Operating departments are their own facilities managers. All other buildings that aren't operated centrally by one of the six property management units is all the other properties are managed through the Department of Transportation and Public Works. There's been ongoing issues with the county's ability to maintain its infrastructure, and we point out in the report some of the history that we've gone through over the years. Fundamentally, though, our conclusion is that we do not have a consistent, coordinated approach to maintain our buildings in a safe manner. We found very little emphasis on building assessments. We found varying degrees of emphasis on building safety, and the number of inspections that have been done of any kind it was very few government-wide. In the report, we lay out some very specific building safety concerns for the properties we visited. We highlighted some of those with photographs. We also conclude that we don't have a very functional inventory and assessment program. It's really part of preventive maintenance. In order to do a good job of maintaining our buildings in a manner that's safe, we need to know what the condition is, what the action plan would be if a condition is noted to be in need of improvement, and we need to follow through on those. We did, in the mid-90s, initiate such an effort, but as of October 2010, when we issued this report, only 66% of the 521 buildings in the system had been reviewed. In addition to the concern about doing the assessments, the efforts that departments have taken to do some work on our buildings isn't integrated with our countywide VFA system. VFA is a software package that we use to know what the needs are, and what we found is that in this decentralized system, each property manager has sort of their own set of protocols, and they keep their own records that may or may not integrate with the countywide system. Fundamentally, we spent a lot of money on a system that we haven't been in a position to rely on, and that needs to be remedied. The bottom line, really, is that we need to commit to a comprehensive property management system, and building safety is just but one part of that. You all know that in the last decade or so, we've spent over $900 million on facilities issues. For the most part, though, those have been dedicated to new construction. They haven't been directed toward maintaining the properties we already have. You recall from the parks audit that we had over $200 million of deferred maintenance in parks alone. As a government, we need to be in a position to make better decisions about what we occupy, what we own, what we provide out as a landlord and how we maintain it so the people who work here and visit here are kept safe. The Finance and Audit Committee did refer this to your committee. What we would suggest is that you receive it and place it on file, but that you get a six-month status report on the seven recommendations that are contained in the report. There has been, I think, a strong support for the audit recommendations from the Director of Transportation and Public Works. There was a budget initiative to create the first step, which is an inspection unit, to get our hands around what is needed to be done. I do need to caution you, though, that with this kind of a program, what we know, what we will find out as a result of further inspection and further work will be a significant price tag. The money that it will be required to maintain our buildings will far exceed the money that we budgeted in recent years for that purpose. Mr. Chairman, I'll end it at that and answer any questions the committee has.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I just have two different questions. One is, first of all, Director or Auditor here is very thorough as far as the 902 buildings. When I first saw that number, I'll think to myself, I was overwhelmed. I mean, I knew we had a lot of buildings. 902 is, I wouldn't have guessed that. And it's not something that we need today or tomorrow or whatever, but it'd be kind of curious as to what the breakdown of construction was on these buildings. And I think where I'm going with this is that earlier, we're talking early 60s or whatever, probably some of the components of the building materials might be a little bit different than some of the newer. And again, I think that might help us as far as maybe understanding the wear and tear of these buildings. But the second point, Mr. Chairman, committee members, is well, this report reflects on the normal wear and tear of our buildings and repairs. And I know that all of us, unfortunately, have something in our district, but I've got one pavilion in particular that, for whatever reason, we cannot catch the vandals that continue to destroy it. And it's getting to the point where, at least for this building, I'm not sure how much longer it's going to last, just because the vandalizing that's going on in it. And I've heard of obviously, in other areas, different buildings and that kind of stuff. But I think another point that we should know is that just the regular, normal wear and tear, is one thing. But, at certain times, when we get the first crack of nice weather in April, there seems to be, kids are truant or whatever and are destroying things. So I made that point, Mr. Harrell, only because I think it's important that this is not normal wear and tear. Some of these buildings are on an accelerated pace to be replaced.
Mr. Chairman, the construction of our facilities, many of them, if you look at the parks audit we did some time back, there was a real buildup. And over 500 of our buildings are in the parks department. There was a real buildup in the 60s and into the 70s of assets. This government spent a lot of money in those years. And as you know, a lot of the buildings were built even back in response to the Depression, the WPNCCC project. But there was a big boom more in the 60s and 70s. And then after that point, we saw the construction stop, but also the staffing and the money spent to maintain those buildings drop precipitously. And what you have then is a lot of buildings that are in a state of disrepair. The issue with parks, clearly, it's a very decentralized. There are 500 buildings scattered all across the county, not all of them in very visible areas. What we're suggesting, and we suggested in the previous audit of parks maintenance, is that we need to make some decisions about whether or not those buildings should be maintained, whether they should be conveyed to somebody else, whether they should be demolished, replaced with something else, or not replaced at all. Those are tough decisions because it goes to one of the more, I think, valuable services that our citizens appreciate. So that audit, I should say, did result in a resolution that was advanced late last year, and we do expect parks to come back with some management recommendations to U.S. policymakers on what to do with the parks assets. But the issue of the construction, it's also a question of, in these times, do our facilities managers know what to do with certain types of construction? When Mr. Tekarian held a symposium out at Grafe's offices out at the Honey Creek Parkway, it was really surprising to hear how some of the very simple things that we need to do, like tuck pointing of our facades, there was, I think, I'll be blunt, there was a lack of understanding about how that should happen. I mean, the common sense approach that those of us who are kind of weekend handymen would take isn't the right approach. Just a simple thing like the kind of material you use to do tuck pointing, you could create a problem that is far beyond what you're trying to fix if you do it in a way that, you know, traps the water and puts it into the structure versus running through the structure like they were originally designed back in the 20s or 30s. So part of that is a lack of knowledge and decentralization, which is why we're recommending a more central foundation of knowledge about how to maintain our buildings, and that's clearly one of the recommendations we expect Mr. Tuscarian to follow through on.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Hare. You mentioned the buildup of assets in the 70s and 80s, and then it seems like we went about 15 years, and then we realized, wow, maintenance and taking care of these things costs money. And that's when, I believe, in the early 90s, around 91 or so, we got the 0.5% sales tax. And the original concept was to use that for debt service for capital projects and then to cash finance maintenance and construction of new facilities. And I just think that really has to be mentioned, because over the last 8 years, the actions that the county board has taken along with the county exec, we've diverted over roughly $110 million in that sales tax that would have, under the 1990s, been used for building maintenance and building construction, and we've diverted that for other county uses. And I think that is, this was the outcome of your report is a foreseeable outcome, that when you divert that kind of revenue away from building maintenance, of course you're going to have buildings start falling apart. And could I just get, some of your comments on that and about the change in our fiscal policy and how it's affected building maintenance?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the sales tax was indeed originally intended to finance capital needs, including maintenance. And what happened about a decade ago or eight years ago was the decision was made because of extraordinary health and pension costs to redirect that. And it was also adopted in a manner that there was a sunset provision so that we could revert to spending that money on capital needs instead. In this recent budget, the decision was made to make that a more permanent solution. But the sales tax, as Supervisor Weishaupt has said, was originally intended and designed to be directed toward capital. The interesting thing, though, that's happened in addition to the redirecting of that sales tax revenue is some of you will recall that we as a government had some ideas a decade ago about building a new park on the north side with the land that was donated by the Coles, Coal Park. At that same time, we were going to build a 27-hole national championship quality golf course on the lake. We were going to revitalize Washington Park, which is sorely in need of some revitalization, and we were going to rebuild McKinley. The people's appetite for new is significant. I mean, people want new, bigger, better facilities for their parks. You talk to many people about county government, the first thing they mention is parks. However, we have assets that do need to be maintained. And from our viewpoint as auditors, whether you increase revenue through a sales tax or you lower your cost by deciding what to do with these buildings other than demolition by neglect, something has to happen differently from what's happening now.
Right. Well, I guess, my point is that this was a foreseeable outcome, that if you stop repairing your buildings eventually, a good term, like you said, is demolition by neglect. And I think that is a terrible way to do business, especially with the public, because we've been giving this false image to the public that everything's fine, when really we haven't. We would have had to come to them and say, guess what, we're going to have to raise your taxes $110 million if we don't divert this money, or we're going to have to make $110 million worth of cuts to balance things out. And we didn't want to do that. And in fact, then we've continuously undercut with that same kind of false impression the need that we need more revenue to change things, whether it's a 0.5% or 1% sales tax for parks and transit and things like that. So I just look at this report and I see the kind of the fractured system that we have, and it's because we've gotten away from the basics, as you pointed out, of how to organize things and to put the funding mechanisms in place. So thank you for your report, but unfortunately, I really don't see a solution coming down the road. And as long as the community takes the position that you're not going to be able to adjust the levers of taxes, which it's amazing that the economy has changed so much in the last 20 years, and for people to think that you can stay under the same tax structure as really that was created in roughly about 1910 is just insane. Some taxes need to go up, some taxes need to go down, but there needs to be adjustments along the way. And this blanket, we're just not going to create any more revenue, is just ridiculous. And you might as well stand on the street corner and say, what we're going to do is burn down all the parks pavilions and get rid of all the government buildings, because that's what you're doing basically by neglect. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Sir Vetswatchon.
Thank you for that enlightenment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been writing down a couple of questions here. No, I have a couple of technical questions.
Sure.
And then, Mr. Chairman, is Mr. Takarian, I see that you have an item where you address all these things. Is that after this then? Okay, just so I direct my questions, because you've responded to each one I see here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A couple of things I didn't quite understand when I was going through here is, I guess, unless I'm missing it, but when I'm reading this, I guess, how can I say this? One thing that has been very clear to me in my time here is when you're talking about the system not working, I guess what I didn't see in the audit, unless I missed it, was an assessment of the fact that we've consistently lost employees. And, in fact, 2 years ago, I remember specifically that the county board put money back in the budget when the Walker administration had cut funding in the engineering and public works area. So I personally think that I agree with all this, that we have a flawed system, it's outdated, people don't know how to use it, it's decentralized, but I'm really interested in perhaps a follow-up, because I think it's important, because we as policymakers need to know what is the right, we're all talking about this right sizing, right?
Right.
Well, I firmly believe that one of the reasons that some of this fell apart and our plans weren't going as we had hoped is that we just didn't have people to put the information in the system. And so I didn't specifically see that addressed here.
Chairman, I may have buried...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make it a formal question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, it's kind of buried in there, but we did point out that VFA, which is really kind of people probably gloss over VFA because it's a lot about software and process, but it is the information system, and unless we know what needs to be done, it doesn't get done, or doesn't get on the list of things that would be done if we had the funding even, but... We did point out that staff cuts have impacted VFA's usefulness. The cuts actually have been from 9 to 1 on page 27.
Okay.
And what that means is that we've really compromised the system. We spend a lot of money to build the system, but when you go from 9 to 1 in terms of maintaining the system, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
However, I should say this, that the first step that you took in the 11 budget, this inspection unit, is those are additional staff.
Mm-hmm.
But, unfortunately, that's the inspection side. That gets our hands around what needs to be done. At some point, Supervisor Dmitrievich is dead on. We need the staff to do the work, or we need to hire somebody to do the work, and that's going to be the bigger price tag.
That was page 27?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's really linked in with the VFA. We didn't put it in the section on the actual work being done. I think we did a better job of that in
mm-hmm.
parks, because that was a lot more focused. We talked about the decline in their staff resources to maintain buildings. This one we took a more systems view and a broader view at VFA, but it's a very legitimate concern, and we agree with you.
Okay, thank you. And then the other thing that was confusing to me was the fact that we had only 66% of the 321 had been assessed, but then you also keep referencing the 900 buildings. So I don't understand, because 521 was what the engineers, the Grafe engineers looked at, or I guess just if you can clear that up.
Right. Mr. Chairman, the 521 were formal structures that were on the assessment list in the mid-90s. When we talk about 902, you could argue that that's kind of a inflated number because it includes things like shelters and small, you know, parks, you know, and golf course weather sheds. But the reason we put that in the 902 is that they may not be as important to many people as the 521 actual structures, but you can have just as big a risk from a shed falling on somebody as you can from, you know, a piece of the courthouse. So we think the 902 is the universe, but in terms of the VFA assessment list, it's only really targeting the 521 that are the master list that was to be assessed in the mid-90s.
Thank you. Two other things. So you had a number of items that were, like, priority one. I guess what I'm trying to get my hands around is, in this audit, I didn't quite see it either, unless I'm missing it. How can I say this? Did we have, if there's, like, outstanding priority one things
yes.
that are considered critical, when you say critical, does that mean that that building shouldn't even, like, it's unsafe to be used? I'm trying to understand that. And
well,
then my other question, as a follow-up to that, is, and maybe this will take some further digging, when these things, like that sample of 106 buildings, that was the one that the audit looked at, right? The
mm-hmm.
random sample?
Right.
And you found some of those to be critical, too. Can you say through your information that you've gathered that the capital improvement requests of those departments have reflected those needs? Because I'm trying to figure out where has this broken down? Is it that the departments aren't requesting it? Is it that the administration said no? Or is it the policymakers aren't putting the money in there? What happened, and how can we correct
right.
it?
Mr. Chairman, first, to get back to to start with your question on the life safety issue, the current critical, this thing that really, quite frankly, scared the heck out of us is that VFA showed a significant number of critical issues, which are life safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
But when we sampled deeper into that, we found that most of those had been resolved one way or another, or the department disagreed that was critical, or there was repairs, it just wasn't documented in VFA. So we were less concerned about this real list of critical life safety issues. But the other thing that's happened with regard to this whole process of the department's request, the exec's recommendation, and the board's adopted budget, what we found in the parks audit, especially in the early years, department heads would come to the exec with a long list of all the things that they felt were critical priorities for the upcoming budget. The exec would most frequently pare that list down quite a bit, and then you would get the budget without the department's full list of things that they requested. I mean, that's the nature of the process for everything, including facilities. But what was interesting in our interviews on this audit is we're at the point where especially mid-level and line managers don't even bother anymore. They've almost, like, I don't want to say given up, but they realize that what they believe they need is not going to get funded. So that's why we think it's better to have a countywide focus on what are the real critical issues, because you don't want to leave it to line staff from operating departments who may be frustrated and to the point where they're not even going to ask anymore because they never get it. We need to have a more dispassionate, professional list of what are the issues that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, that it's only fair that U.S. policymakers see that whole list.
Mm-hmm.
If VFA were a good, accurate, true list, you could see the whole list. You wouldn't have to say, well, gee, what did the exec leave in? What did he take out? Why did he do that? You'd know yourself what's on the list of critical issues, because as policymakers, I think you're entitled to weigh in on whether or not they should be funded in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just I can tell you that the information that's available, it's I don't want to say it's worthless, but it's extremely limited in its value.
Do you have any
just the last thing, yeah, I guess. I mean, we're all aware of it, but it's really embarrassing how far behind we are because, you know, I just always think of the phrase, oh, we should operate like a business, right? well, what business would be so outdated on the knowledge of the life cycle of their assets? And I guess what's frustrating me, but frustrating I want to turn into positive energy and solutions, is that really the way we should be doing this is that there should be less critical things. We should actually, and I hope we develop this as a policy, we should actually be able to see things as we can be proactive and prevent, you know, things getting to a critical situation. That's the way it should be done.
Right.
And I think we're so overwhelmed, and like you stated, even middle managers don't even, I bet they, there's so much critical stuff going on that they're almost afraid to even suggest something preventative.
Well,
and that's what worries me. And but I think that now that we have this information, hopefully we can turn this thing around. But it's going to take a major investment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just one last thing on that point. That is dead on with what we're hearing from people in the field. They have told us that it is easier to get a capital project approved because it's bonded money and it's usually something maybe you can cut a ribbon on, than it is to get the money that they believe is needed to just repair and maintain what we have now. And we need to change that dynamic. At the end of the day, you're stewards for 902 assets. And
right.
As stewards, you either need to make a decision about fixing it, selling it, mm-hmm. demolishing it, doing something different. And right now, it's just not happening.
And to me, just to conclude, Mr. Chairman, is I'd rather see, instead of a long list of all these critical deficiencies, a long list of proactive, preventative maintenance that could probably be half, I would estimate, as expensive. But I think we'll get there, but it's going to be a while, and this is a start, and I appreciate all this information. Although it's kind of depressing, we need it so that we can move forward. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The pleasure of the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, Cop.
I'm going to ask that we receive and place this on file.
To follow a six-month report.
And we'll follow up a six-month report.
All right. Anything additional in that report that you may want to see? That's not in that report at the present moment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I guess I'd like to, well, I sure hope we make progress in 6 months, but I think six months from now, whoever's kind of the executive will be putting together a budget.
Yes.
So hopefully some of these recommendations could be part of that, or I'm not sure how we'll go about it. I'd like to see the progress of that inspection unit. And I guess, yeah, that's probably it, just those two things, the inspection unit progress, and then at that point, some more recommendations or any progress so that we can look at it and evaluate it in our 2012 budget.
I would like to see what facilities, that's a shared, a little booth where it could be a concession stand that people not use it, that actually can be brought down. We need to try to bring some of our assets down that we are not using. And they just, you know, have surface in those parks. Or
so, Mr. Chairman, will we have access to the list of the 902 items?
Yes, and also bring back the list of the 902 items that we have.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right, on that motion, any other questions or concerns? Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Cesar?
Aye.
Dimitrievich?
Aye.
Mr. Chair,
aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file is approved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Committee.
Yeah.